The headlines. Iran says the U.S. should be held accountable for the losses it inflicted on Tehran by its illegal withdrawal from the 2015 nuclear deal. The European Union says it will press ahead with plans to impose tariffs of up to $4 billion worth of U.S. goods and services. And the U.N. Agency for Palestinian Refugees, suffering from U.S. cuts, says it lacks the funds to pay the salaries of its Palestinian employees. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Mews. Thanks for joining us. Iran has ruled out any renegotiation regarding the 2015 nuclear agreement signed between Tehran and the world powers. Iran's prime ministry spokesman said the agreement, known as the JCPOA, was the outcome of long-term talks between Iran, permanent members of the U.S. Security Council, and Germany. Saeed Khatibzadeh said the Iran nuclear deal is a binding international agreement and that no one can set conditions to renegotiate it. The spokesman said Washington has withdrawn from the accord. By doing so, has inflicted losses to the Iranian nation. He said the U.S. should be held accountable for those losses. Activist and international lawyer Barry Grossman says Washington is seeking to renegotiate the Iran nuclear deal in order to decrease Israel's concerns.
Well, I think probably if you were to speak to the players privately, off the record, they would concede that talk of renegotiation is really quite absurd. And I guess what I would say is, the way Mr. Biden, should he manage somehow to pull this from the fire, the way he deals with the Iran issue will be the acid test for the bona fides of his administration. Having said that, I think it's very important to keep in mind that he's already spoken and without reservation declared his commitment to Israel. And certainly the entire JCPO process and everything that's followed has in no small part been driven by Israel and its feigned concerns about Iran. So I personally don't hold out any great hope that Biden would be able to find the political will, let alone the capability to go against those very powerful interests that would have him continue to stay the course that's been steered by Donald Trump in order to reach a resolution with Iran. At the very least, I would expect there to be an attempt at a very serious renegotiation. And of course, as I understand it, Iran quite properly will not be a part of that.
The U.S. President Donald Trump is planning to hold rallies to question the outcome of the vote that gave his Democratic rival Joe Biden a clean sweep in the race for the White House. A Trump campaign spokesman says the president wants to build support for his fight over the election results. The incumbent president has not acknowledged defeat and has launched an array of lawsuits to press claims of election fraud in swing states without producing evidence. Trump has also lambasted the mainstream media for projecting Biden as a winner. That's as President-elect Biden has taken the first steps of a transition plan into the White House. He and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris have launched a transition website that lists their four priorities of COVID-19, economic recovery, racial equity, and climate change. The transition website says Biden is assembling a team to tackle the challenges on day one when he formally takes office. While U.S. media declared Biden the winner of the presidential election, many Republicans remain divided whether to call the race over. Few within the Republican Party, including former President George Bush, congratulated Joe Biden's triumph in the election. However, most Republicans have remained silent and avoided congratulating Biden's victory. They keep supporting President Donald Trump, saying that he should keep fighting for changing the election results. Trump plans to legally challenge the election results. He's accused Democrats of stealing the vote result and election meddling in swing states.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has been declared the winner of the bitterly divisive U.S. election, denying President Donald Trump a second term in the White House. Several U.S. news networks, including the Associated Press, CNN, and Fox News, made the call after Biden increased his lead in the battleground state of Pennsylvania, with vote counting still ongoing in several states. His win in Pennsylvania gave him enough electoral votes needed to enter the White House. His supporters poured into the streets in front of the White House in Washington, D.C., and several other cities across the country to celebrate the victory. However, the election results represent a widening rift in the American society. Even though Joe Biden received over 75 million votes, breaking the record for more popular votes than any other president in U.S. history, President Donald Trump managed to garner more than 70 million votes.
There's growing political division in the United States to a level that hasn't been seen in a really long time. You have crumbling infrastructure across the country. You have rising unemployment. They're talking about a second and third lockdown in the United States. The economic situation is really dire. And so two wings of the ruling parties in the United States are fighting against each other.
Many observers had anticipated that the outcome of the election would be disappointing for either side if the other secured victory. But the tight race between the two candidates shows how polarized the American public has become.
4 years into the Donald Trump's presidency, the U.S. is, well, more divided than ever. His administration's foreign policy, handling of the coronavirus pandemic, and movements against racial injustice, not to mention the climate crisis, have become intensely controversial topics hailed by Trump's followers and bitterly disputed by his opponents. The president-elect is now facing the challenge of bringing the nation together and narrowing the rift within society. Trump does not show any sign of willingness to let that happen in his final weeks in office. That begs the question, can Joe Biden heal American society after he enters the Oval Office?
Outgoing U.S. President Donald Trump has repeatedly made allegations of election fraud and vowed to challenge the results in court.
And there are many instances which will be reported very shortly. There's tremendous litigation going on, and this is a case where they're trying to steal an election. They're trying to rig an election.
He has challenged the results in several states, including Arizona, where the president's campaign filed a lawsuit alleging that Maricopa County incorrectly rejected votes cast by in-person voters on Election Day. In a statement, Trump said Biden is rushing falsely to pose as the winner and the election is far from over. This is despite that a stream of heads of state have already congratulated Biden on his election victory. Trump's unsubstantiated claims about the election results and the possibility of fraud are adding fuel to the already smoldering fire burning in the U.S. society. Trump supporters, some carrying weapons, have rallied in several U.S. cities protesting the results and echoing the president's allegations of fraud, saying the election was stolen.
I think what this election has shown, above all else, is that the U.S. claim of being legitimate and democratic and having free, fair, and quick elections is collapsing. Nobody believes that myth anymore. And the fact that a country like Bolivia, for example, had faster, more efficient elections even after a coup than the United States just goes to show that.
President-elect Joe Biden seems to have recognized the threat. In his victory speech, he pledged to heal what he called a divided America.
For all those of you who voted for President Trump, I understand the disappointment tonight. I've lost a couple times myself, but now let's give each other a chance.
But how long will it take until he manages to fulfill his promise, if at all?
The European Union presses ahead with plans to impose tariffs on up to $4 billion worth of U.S. goods and services. The EU's top trade official says the tariffs will be imposed over illegal American support for plane maker Boeing. Last year, the World Trade Organization authorized the U.S. to slap penalties on EU goods worth up to $7.5 billion. It was over European support for Boeing rival Airbus. Now the EU says it remains open for negotiated solution for both sides to withdraw the tariffs. Trade tensions have been mounting between the U.S. and the European Union over the past couple of years, with the Trump administration trying to reduce U.S. trade deficits through tariffs. Jerome Hughes says a trade deal between the U.S. and the EU is possible after Joe Biden swears in as the U.S. president.
The European Commission has always said that it remains and stands ready to withdraw new tariffs that it imposes once the United States does the same, because it's saying that it's only reciprocating what the U.S. is doing. And you know, of course, all of this is happening against the backdrop of the change in the administration. And I think there can be little doubt that when Joe Biden gets into office next year, that things will normalize and relations will improve. This is such an important foreign policy issue for the European Union, for any country, really. I mean, it's the most important foreign policy issue when we're talking about trade, apart from security, if you're being threatened by another country or whatever. But, you know, this is because this is all the money is involved here for the European Union. And, of course, it's a big issue for the United States. So I think what will happen is, you know, the EU side wants no tariffs with the US. They want a trade deal with the United States. And I think it is quite possible now, with Joe Biden coming into power, that we're going to see a situation whereby in the coming couple of years, we could have a trade deal between the EU and the US.
Time now for the news review. Liz Bullison. Hello, welcome to the News Review. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says it lacks funds to pay the salaries of its employees. The UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East says it needs to raise $70 million by the end of the month to be able to pay full salaries for the months of November and December. The funding shortfall affects 28,000 staffers in the occupied West Bank and Gaza, among other places in the region. The agency's spokeswoman said that UNRWA never recovered from the total funding cut imposed by Donald Trump's administration in 2018. Tamara Al-Rifai expressed optimism that U.S. President-elect Joe Biden's administration will restore Washington's annual $300 million aid. UNRWA runs schools and provides health services, as well as other humanitarian aid, to an estimated 5.7 million Palestinian refugees. Let's discuss this more. First, we'll bring our correspondent Mona Kandil from occupied Ramallah to tell us about this. And also Robert Fantina, who's an author and journalist, joins us from Kitchener, Ontario, for a breakdown. Mona, tell us when this was cut, actually, by the U.S. President Donald Trump, if you can, why he decided to cut it, and this aid, that is, and what type of effect this has had, and whether hopes are high now with the president-elect Biden to have come into the picture.
Well, in 2018, U.S. President Donald Trump decided to cut all U.S. funding to UNRWA, which amounted to more than $300 million. The United States was for the biggest donor to UNRWA, as you were saying. UNRWA provides education, health, and relief services to more than 5.7 Palestinian refugees registered in the occupied West Bank in refugee camps of Jerusalem, Al-Quds, Gaza Strip, as well as refugee camps in the diaspora, like Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan. But also there was cuts from some Arab countries, some other donors, including the Gulf. Experts were saying it's because of the relations and the signing of the agreements with Israel. The cut of the aid was an attempt by Donald Trump to pressurize the Palestinian Authority in order to return back to the negotiating table with Israel. And this was completely refused by the Palestinians and the Palestinian Authority as well. That's why UNRWA is today urging donors to immediately send aids to UNRWA in order to be able to pay the salaries of its staff working mainly in the Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank and in other areas. However, some are a little bit hoping that with the coming of the new American President Joe Biden, then there would be a cancellation of the decision taken by Trump, and then the funds would be sent to UNRWA. But this will take time, not immediately in the coming few months.
Well, Robert Fantina, when you take a look at the state or status of Palestinians, the way that they're spread out, they are obviously, for lack of a better way to describe it, suffering under the Israeli siege, Israeli occupation, etc. We won't get into how Israel does that, but those are just some of the characteristics of what an occupation does. And yet, you had the U.S. president who pretty much obliged to any request that Israel may have had. And this maybe was part of that picture, cutting funds. And many Palestinian families actually suffered quite immensely. Do you believe that there's hope with President-elect Biden and Kamala Harris to come into the picture and help Palestinians? And one of the starting points to be the restoration of this aid?
Yes, I do. Because I saw that Vice President-elect Harris, in an interview with the Arab American News a few days ago, has said that the aid will be restored, that relations will be restarted with Palestine. So this was surprising to me, based on her history and her support for AIPAC and her long-term support for Israel. But in her statement to that that journal, she said that the Biden administration would oppose a settlement activity, would oppose any unilateral activity, including annexation, that would compromise the possibility of a two-state solution. So I think there is some cause for hope. Now, whether or not the Biden-Harris administration will live up to that remains to be seen, but at least this is a complete contradiction of what Trump said he would do and what he actually did do regarding Palestine during his administration.
Mona, the amount of cuts was quite large when it happened, $350 million or thereabouts. Can you give us a couple examples briefly of the suffering that this incurred on Palestinians, how they suffered because of the cuts, whether it's from schooling to food to you name it?
Palestinians living in the refugee camps, mainly in some areas of the occupied West Bank, in the refugee camps very close to the illegal settlements, as well as refugee camps of the Gaza Strip, are the ones maybe let's speak about. The cases here in the occupied territories are suffering a lot. The children and the kids of the refugees are sent to schools registered under UNRWA because they cannot study in other schools. They are fully covered by the UNRWA, as well as the clinics. And so imagine that families are not even getting the most important food in order to survive. That's why when they received the news from UNRWA officials, it was like a storm received by them. They are very upset. They are hoping for getting AIDS because this will negatively affect them even more and more. While here in the occupied West Bank, people are already suffering from the Israeli occupation, and they can't find any opportunity to work in the occupied territories. They also will be suffering not being able to work in the institutions run by UNRWA.
Very well. Under a minute, Robert Fantina. So the aid, if it gets restored, it's a good first step. Do you think there'll be other first steps that might be taken, given the fact that you had U.S. President Donald Trump heed to any, pretty much any call, it appears, that Israel has made? There's so many things that just went to the wayside with Donald Trump and Israel. What do you think?
I don't think there'll be any real progress with the Biden-Harris administration. It will go back to the U.S. wanting to sponsor useless negotiations when there's really nothing to negotiate. All that needs to be done is international law has to be adhered to. And I don't think the Biden-Harris administration will force that at all. Harris has said that aid to Israel will not be withheld under any circumstances. It won't be conditional on anything that Israel does or doesn't do, which of course violates U.S. law, because for foreign aid to be given to a country, that country has to reach a certain standard of human rights respect, which and human rights adherence, which Israel doesn't do. So while I'm glad that the aid will be given again to the organizations that assist the people, I'm not looking for anything, unfortunately, much beyond that.
Thank you very much, Robert Fantina, author and journalist, and thank you, Mona Kandil, correspondent from Ramallah. And that does it for our news review. Thanks for tuning in. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In a series of unhinged tweets on Saturday morning, November 7th, most of which were marked by the social media company as containing information that is disputed or might be misleading about an election or other civic process, Trump lied to the world without providing a shred of evidence that massive fraud has taken place since Election Day. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by John Quayle, writer. This article is published under the heading Trump Effort to Steal Election and So National Chaos is Taking Place in Broad Daylight. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. Vanquishing President Donald Trump, Democratic nominee Joe Biden was announced winner of the 2020 presidential election on Saturday, November 7th, and is now slated to become the 46th President of the United States of America. Major news outlets, including NBC News and the Associated Press, made their official projections late on Saturday morning, November 7th. Shortly before the race was called, President Donald Trump continued his brazen effort to spew misinformation as a way to steal the presidential election away from the American people, even as the results up to that point, based on a steady counting of ballots nationwide and in key states, all showed that Joe Biden was almost certainly on the verge of being the next president of the United States. In a series of unhinged tweets on Saturday morning, November 7th, most of which were marked by the social media company as containing information that is disputed or might be misleading about an election or other civic process, Trump lied to the world without providing a shred of evidence that massive fraud has taken place since Election Day, as state election officers counted an unprecedented amount of mail-in absentee and provisional ballots cast this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. At 10:36 a.m. Eastern Time, Trump asserted, "I won this election by a lot." There was, however, only one possible fact-based response to such a clear lie, and that would be, "No, you didn't." According to the New York Times, at the time Trump issued those tweets, Biden was leading the president in the Electoral College race by a margin of 253 to 214, and the national popular vote by 4,150,184. And, as was predicted almost word by word by people like Senator Bernie Sanders, who warned exactly of this kind of nightmare scenario, instead of getting ready to concede, as he inched towards inevitable defeat to his Democratic rival, Trump instead wrapped himself in a thick blanket of falsehoods to claim that a huge number of ballots cast against him were fraudulent as a way to delegitimize the election and sow massive distrust and unrest among his supporters. According to the Associated Press, earlier on Saturday, November 7th, Biden was edging closer to win with a final call in Pennsylvania, all he needed to secure overall victory in the Electoral College race by 270. As AP reported early in the day, prior to a final batch of reported votes, which put him over the top, the delay in producing a verdict could be attributed to high turnout, a massive number of mail-in ballots, and slim margins between the candidates. Biden held leads in Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Georgia, putting him in a stronger position to capture the 270 Electoral College votes needed to take the White House. There was intense focus on Pennsylvania, where Biden led Trump by more than 28,000 votes, and Nevada, where Biden was up by about 22,000. The prolonged wait added to the anxiety of a nation facing historic challenges, including the surging coronavirus pandemic and deep political polarization. Meanwhile, Trump renewed his offense by making baseless claims of fraud. Bad things took place during those hours where legal transparency was viciously and crudely not allowed, stated at 8:20 a.m. Eastern Time via his Twitter account. Tractors, blocked doors, and windows were covered with thick cardboard so that observers could not see into the count rooms. Bad things happen inside. Big changes took place, he added. Not a word of this is substantiated, but that didn't stop the president from saying it to his millions of supporters. Since election night, when Trump outrageously claimed he already did win the election, Trump has refused to acknowledge the legitimate vote counting process and instead used the ensuing days. While Biden called for patience and assured Americans that every vote must be counted to deepen his conspirational proclamations, Trump's efforts, say progressive critics, are about much more than just lying and deceit, but should be seen as an outright effort to steal the election. As Esquire's Jack Holmes wrote on Friday, November 6th, the whole situation in the United States is incredibly easy to understand and clear to see. What is now happening has been coming, and it's been incredibly obvious for months. Well, years. In 2016, Trump said he would only consider the election legitimate if he won. Even when he won, he greeted the news he'd gotten shellacked in the popular vote by saying 3 million of those votes were fraudulent. 3 million! And yet, when he created an entire presidential commission to investigate, they found nothing and disbanded. Then he ransacked the institutions of democracy for 4 years, undermining the separation of powers and the independent system of justice and the free press, until this election was approaching and he once again said he'd only lose if it was rigged. The president said he would scream fraud if he lost, and now that he's losing, he's screaming fraud while providing zero count admissible evidence, continued Holmes. This isn't complicated. Trump announced on Twitter that he would hold a big press conference at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, but that event never materialized.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said on Saturday he hoped the next U.S. administration will have learned that sanctions cannot make Iran give in to American policy. Donald Trump has applied the so-called maximum pressure policy against Iran since his 2018 withdrawal from a landmark nuclear agreement. President Rouhani said in a televised speech, "We hope the three-year experience will be a lesson for the Americans and for the next administration to abide by laws and regulations and return to its commitments." President Rouhani added, Our people have faced economic terrorism for the past 3 years and shown unparalleled resistance and patience. He said Iran would continue its resistance and patience until the other side bows before laws and regulations. He added, "The decision of our country has always been clear in any circumstances. The Iranian nation will continue its resistance and patience until the other side bows down to laws and regulations." The president added that the Islamic Republic of Iran hopes those imposing sanctions have realized their path was wrong and that they would not achieve their aims in any way. "We're prepared for you," an article written jointly by staff writers of Press TV, Associated Press and Agence France-Presse. The piece is titled "Biden Wins White House, Barring New Direction for Divided U.S. Iran Urges Next U.S. Administration to Learn from Sanctions." Please stay with us for more. Democratic presidential challenger Joe Biden defeated President Donald Trump to become America's 46th president on Saturday, positioning himself to lead a nation gripped by a historic pandemic and a confluence of economic and social turmoil. His victory came after more than 3 days of uncertainty as election officials sorted through a surge of mail-in votes that delayed the processing of some ballots. Joe Biden crossed the 270 Electoral College votes with a win in Pennsylvania. Biden staked his candidacy less on any distinctive political ideology than on galvanizing a broad coalition of voters around the notion that Donald Trump posed an existential threat to American democracy. The strategy proved effective, resulting in pivotal victories in Michigan and Wisconsin, as well as Pennsylvania, one-time Democratic bastions that had flipped to Trump in 2016. Joe Biden was on track to win the national popular vote by more than 4 million votes, a margin that could grow as ballots continue to be counted. Donald Trump seized on delays in processing the vote in some states to allege voter fraud and argued that his rival was trying to seize power, an extraordinary charge by a sitting U.S. president trying to sow doubt about America's democratic process. As the vote count played out, Joe Biden tried to ease tensions and project an image of presidential leadership, hitting notes of unity that were seemingly aimed at cooling the temperature of a heated, divided nation. In a Friday night speech in Delaware, Biden said, "We have to remember the purpose of our politics isn't total, unrelenting, unending warfare. No, the purpose of our politics, the work of our nation, isn't to fan the flames of conflict, but to solve problems, to guarantee justice, to give everybody a fair shot." Kamala Harris also made history as the first black woman to become vice president, a purported achievement that comes as the U.S. faces a reckoning on racial justice. The California senator, who is also the first person of South Asian descent elected to the vice presidency, will become the highest-ranking woman ever to serve in government, 4 years after Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton. Trump is the first incumbent president to lose re-election since Republican George H.W. Bush in 1992. It was unclear whether Trump would publicly concede. A record 103 million Americans voted early this year, opting to avoid waiting in long lines at polling stations during a pandemic. With counting continuing in some states, Joe Biden had already received more than 74 million votes, more than any presidential candidate before him. More than 246,000 Americans have died during the coronavirus pandemic. Nearly 10.2 million Americans have been infected by the virus, and millions more have lost their jobs. The final days of the campaign played out against the backdrop of a surge in confirmed cases of coronavirus in nearly every state, including battleground states such as Wisconsin, that swung to Joe Biden. The pandemic will soon be Biden's to tame, as he campaigned, pledging to big government response akin to what Franklin Delano Roosevelt oversaw with the New Deal during the Depression of the 1930s. But Senate Republicans fought back several Democratic challenges and looked to retain a fragile majority that could serve as a check on Joe Biden's ambition. The 2020 campaign was a referendum on Donald Trump's handling of the pandemic, which has shuttered schools across the nation, disrupted businesses, and raised questions about the feasibility of family gatherings heading into the Christmas holidays. The fast spread of the coronavirus transformed political rallies from standard campaign fare to gatherings that were potential public health emergencies. It also contributed to an unprecedented shift to voting early and by mail, and prompted Joe Biden to dramatically scale back his travel and events to comply with restrictions. Donald Trump defied calls for caution and ultimately contracted the disease himself. He was saddled throughout the year by negative assessments from the public of his handling of the pandemic. Joe Biden also drew a sharp contrast to Donald Trump through a summer of unrest over the police killing of black Americans, including Breonna Taylor in Kentucky and George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Their deaths sparked the largest racial protest movement since the civil rights era of the 1960s. Biden responded by acknowledging the racism that pervades American life, whilst Donald Trump emphasized his support for police officers and pivoted to a law and order message that resonated with his largely white base. Meanwhile, in Iran, President Hassan Rouhani on Saturday said he hoped the next U.S. administration would have learned that sanctions cannot make Iran give in to American policy. Donald Trump applied a so-called maximum pressure policy against Iran since his May 2018 withdrawal from a landmark nuclear deal. President Hassan Rouhani said in a televised speech, "We hope the three-year experience will be a lesson for the Americans and for the next administration to abide by laws and regulations and return to its commitments." He added, "Our people have faced economic terrorism for the past 3 years and have shown unparalleled resistance and patience." President Rouhani added, "Iran would continue its resistance and patience until the other side bows before laws and regulations. The decision of our country has always been clear in any circumstances. The Iranian nation will continue its resistance and patience until the other side bows down to the laws and regulations." The president added that the Islamic Republic hopes those imposing sanctions realize the folly of their ways, that their path is wrong, and that they would not achieve their aims. Iranian officials have said they will focus on the policies of the next U.S. administration rather than who becomes president. Iran has also stressed that a possible U.S. return to the nuclear agreement, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, would have to be accompanied by compensational damages caused by withdrawal and a guarantee that it would not be repeated. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said on Tuesday, 3rd of November, that the U.S. election would have no effect on Tehran's policies towards Washington. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that Iran will not be concerned about who emerges as the winner of the U.S. election race, and that the Islamic Republic's stance towards the U.S. hegemony will remain unaltered, whatever the result of the election. He made the remark in a televised address on Tuesday, marking the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and his sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, which coincides with Islamic Unity Week festivities. The leader said, "Some may think that a government can benefit from submitting to the demands of the United States, but the governments that have surrendered to the American bullying have suffered the most, and their troubles have only multiplied." The leader stressed, Iran's policy towards the United States is calculated and clear and does not change with movement of individuals. The leader noted that the arrival or departure of various politicians might have implications for others, but the Iranians will be unconcerned that the Islamic Republic's policy will be unaffected. Ayatollah Khamenei further said the main reason for America's hostility towards the Islamic establishment in Iran is Iran's opposition to oppressive policies and its refusal to recognize U.S. hegemony. He added, "This hostility will continue, and the only way to resolve it is for the other side to lose hope in the assumption that it can inflict a major blow on the nation and the government." Ayatollah Khamenei also pointed to the allegations by American officials themselves of widespread cheating in the ongoing presidential elections in the United States and said, "The incumbent president, whose administration is holding the vote, says this is the most fraudulent election in United States history, whilst his rival says Donald Trump wants to cheat." The leader added, "Disregarding who will come to power in America, the current situation attests to a severe civil, political, and moral decline in the United States, something that has been acknowledged by intellectuals and academics the world over." Meanwhile, in the United States, President-elect Joe Biden has said he plans to embark on a credible path to return to diplomacy with Iran if he wins the presidency and raised the possibility of returning to the 2015 nuclear accord negotiated when he was vice president under Barack Obama. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign minister Mohammad Javad Zarif said Tehran only values actions and not words when it comes to dealings with the United States. Speaking to Latin American television network Telesur, Mohammad Javad Zarif said, "There are obvious differences between U.S. President Donald Trump and his presidential rival Joe Biden." The Iranian foreign minister added, "There are obvious differences between the two camps." Zarif, who is on a Latin American tour, said, "What is important for Iran is not the tone or the rhetoric, but actions." Donald Trump walked away from the nuclear agreement in May of 2018. And imposed tough sanctions on Iran. Tensions have been running high between the United States and Iran since Washington's decision to abandon the Iran nuclear deal and reimpose sanctions on Tehran as part of a so-called maximum pressure campaign. The top Iranian diplomat, Mohammad Javad Zarif, said the United States has to gain a seat in the negotiating table if it wants to return to the nuclear deal. The Iranian foreign minister added, "The nuclear deal is not a revolving door. The United States decided to leave the deal. Now, if it wants to come back, it has to gain a seat at the negotiating table." He said, "The United States has engaged in illegal activity against Iran, has hurt our economy, has hurt our people, and it has to change its practices if it wants the situation to change." Zarif added, "We haven't seen much diplomacy during the tenure of President Donald Trump. We have seen a lot of threats by him and his hawkish Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo." Meanwhile, Iran's first vice president, Esaf Jahangiri, has hailed the end of Donald Trump's presidency and his hawkish extremist administration, expressing hope that his successor Joe Biden would return to the rule of law and respect for all nations. Jahangiri said, "Finally, the announcement of the results of US elections, the era of Donald Trump and his adventures and belligerent team has come to an end." Esaf Jahangiri noted, "Violation of international treaties, from those on the issues of environment to economic and inhuman sanctions against the Iranian nation, and support for terrorism and racism formed the basis of Trump's presidency." He said, "The Iranian nation stood up to Donald Trump's maximum pressure policies, and won't forget the pains caused by the massive disruption of its livelihood, the patients' lack of access to medicine, and the assassination of our dear Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Jangiri tweeted, "I hope we will see a change in the destructive policies of the United States and its return to law and international commitments and respect for other nations." An advisor to Iranian President Hesamuddin Ashinar also tweeted that Iranians stood their ground bravely until the coward left the White House. Ashinar said in an earlier tweet, "We stood against Trump's America and refused to bow down through national resolve and Islamic zeal. If Joe Biden comes to office, we will tell him too that never test what has already been tested." A senior Iranian diplomat had earlier made it clear that the result of the U.S. presidential election will have no bearings whatsoever on fundamental policies of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Political Affairs, Abbas Araghchi, said in a radio interview on Saturday, "Iran's fundamental policies, which are based on countering domination and resisting illegal pressure, will definitely not be affected by the outcome of the U.S. elections." Araghchi, however, emphasized that if new conditions emerge, Iran will adopt proper methods and solutions in conformity with those conditions in order to serve its own interests and to counter any possible new pressure or threats.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Firm against the disbelievers, compassionate among themselves.
Abi Talib told the Holy Prophet to pursue his goal. I swear by God that I will not give you away, no matter what I receive in return. There were not more than 30 or 40 of them. These 30 or 40 people tolerated all those hardships and increased in number on a daily basis. Each day, they were witness to what they did to Ammar and Bilal. They were witness to the torturing and martyrdom of Sumayya and Yasir. They were witness to these things, but they still converted to Islam. That is the way righteousness is promoted. The mere raising of the flag in peace and security will not help promote righteousness. Righteousness will be promoted only when there is steadfastness and perseverance on the part of righteous people who believe in righteousness.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want or need. My Lord,
my Lord,
protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger among
There is a verse in the Quran, Surah 48, verse 29, that says, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are firm against the disbelievers, compassionate among themselves. The phrase, firm against the disbelievers, does not mean that Muslims are involved in a constant war with the disbelievers. Rather, it means strength and solidity. Firm means solid here. This solidity may be manifested in a particular manner on the battlefield. It may also be manifested in another way when negotiating with the enemy. Just see how the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family talked to his enemies when it was necessary to do so. His plans were the embodiment of solidity without any flaws.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.